Come on, just bless them. For those of you that are receiving, just take a moment and just remind yourself, thank you, Jesus, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. And that in itself might be something you need to battle through and just contend with. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you this morning. He loved you yesterday. He'll love you tomorrow. There is nothing you can do that would ever cause him not to love you. He loves you, for he is love. And before the foundations of the world, he chose you and adopted you. He predestined you. He's redeemed you through the sacrifice and resurrection of his son, and that is where we get our healing. That is the evidence that no sin, no sickness, no infirmity is too great, too strong, or too mighty for the love and the power of our God. For those of you that are receiving, again, just take a moment. Let thanksgiving rise up. For those of you that are praying, just take a moment and ask them, how you doing? What's God doing? Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that are receiving, just take a moment. Do you notice anything different? Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for healing. Yeah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask for wisdom and counsel right now regarding mindsets towards the familiarity. I just sense that sometimes we become so familiar with the presence of the pain or the ache or the heartache or whatever you're navigating right now, that sometimes it's the mindset that keeps us from receiving or walking in it. So we just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and counsel our mindsets. Come and counsel our thoughts. Yes. Sometimes, some of you will know this if you're familiar with your Bible. Sometimes when Jesus healed, it was after he had forgiven sin, right? Sometimes he comes and says, your sins are forgiven. Be healed. And sometimes there's this place where we have to acknowledge, and if you've got sin, confess it. But in the bigger scope of things, sometimes it's just reminding yourself, Lord, thank you that I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven of my sin. And if there is present sin, then you confess it, you repent. But remind yourself right now, allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of what Jesus said. For I have forgiven you, therefore be healed. So if you've got an ache in your side or an ache in your back, just join with me. Thank you, Father, that I am forgiven. That I have been forgiven of all my sin. Therefore, body, receive the healing that comes in the ministry of forgiveness. Come on, and again, Lord, bring to remembrance, bring to mind any sin that I'm navigating that I haven't addressed or I'm carrying shame with or I didn't realize. And then there's other times when Jesus doesn't even deal with sin. He just deals with the heartache and the pain. And he just says, be healed. Be healed. And sometimes he says, be healed and go and sin no more. So my point is, the Lord is probably doing a lot of different things. And if you need to confess your sin before you receive, confess it. If you need to be healed before you confess your sin, then receive your healing. If you're that person that needs more prayer, Jesus had no problem with that. Jesus shows us by example, what can you see after praying for someone's eyes that was blind? And the individual just says, it looks like trees walking around. Well, that's not good enough for Jesus, because those aren't trees. Those are people. So let's pray again. And he prays again. And he heals. So this morning, we thank you, Lord, for the healing. And many of you know this, but I just sense again, just to remind you, there's a place where healing isn't always physical, right? Sometimes we just need our heart healed. And sometimes when we get our heart healed, all of a sudden physical healing manifests. So maybe you're in that place where your physical healing is something you've contended for over and over and over, and all of a sudden it can kind of cause our heart to grow sorrowful or wearisome, which then affects faith and brings in doubt and uncertainty. And maybe the Lord just wants to come and remind us this morning, remind you, hey, listen, I love you, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And in the moment of receiving that, all of a sudden, you might notice the pain is gone. There was a situation where Jesus had some lepers he wanted to heal and was going to heal. And he had an interesting thing for them. He didn't forgive their sin. He didn't even tell them, be healed, and they got healed. He told them to what? To go wash. Just go wash. Now, again, sometimes we can read these things and think, oh, okay. They decided just to go down to the river and just wash. And I think we forget sometimes the reality of disappointment or the challenge of obedience. Because imagine somebody with leprosy. They're an outcast. Leprosy was considered a mark of sin that was manifesting on the outside. And so there were laws and rules and ways in which the society had marginalized and created this sect of how to treat those with leprosy. And Jesus was aware of it. So they're carrying great heartache, right? They're carrying great disappointment and a sense of longing for acceptance. But the leprosy kept that from them. So when they come to Jesus, you would think, Jesus, just accept us. Heal us. We've heard that you heal leprosy. Accept us. Receive us. Restore us to our community by just healing us. And yet Jesus sends them on a journey. He sends them on a journey to contemplate their own heart issues. Hey, you need to go wash down at the river. Imagine being that individual that, I don't know how far the river was, but let's just put it where our river is. Imagine us saying to you right now, if you want your healing, you need to go jump in the Snake River. That is not a word from the Lord. But imagine if it was. You need to go down and wash in the river. Imagine that journey. Imagine the temptation to abandon the journey. Imagine those that you would have to pass on the way to the river that would literally call you out. Leper, leper, leper. But if you believed that what Jesus said was possible, all of a sudden you would be able to tune out the voices of others. You'd be able to overcome whatever path or journey or obstacle was in your way between here and the river. Or, if you didn't believe the words, you just wander off someplace else. You just settle for, you know what? He's not a healer. He didn't heal. I wanted something right here and right now, and Jesus is making me work for it. So there's a choice. And what we know from Scripture is that when they went down to the river and washed, they got clean. And I don't know if you've ever seen a movie or some of those pictures. I'm trying to think of some of those movies, but, you know, they have the boils or the skin thing in the movie, and they stick it in the water, and they start to wash, and it kind of becomes a milky white and just dissolved. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us what it looked like. I have no idea what it looks like to see skin just all of a sudden, you know, dissolve sickness away in the water. But I guarantee you, anybody that was down at the river that day, watching these lepers getting in the water, and they started to notice, something's changing. Maybe their noses are growing back. If you're familiar with leprosy, it just eats your skin away. It eats the tissue away. They may have lost fingers. They may have didn't have ears. Who knows how far along they were in their sickness. But definitely noticeable. So imagine being down on the river, and these two ladies show up, and they decide, we're going to jump in, and you're just watching them going, what are they doing? It's like 30 degrees outside. And all of a sudden in the river, they start to like shout and holler. Come on. They've got some attention on them. And what was a label as an outcast, as someone that was unclean, all of a sudden got dissolved and washed away. God wants to remove those labels. God wants to remove that thing that you've been burdened by. He wants to show you that in the midst of it, you're stronger than you think you are because of who He is. So one more time, would you bow your heart with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing that's taking place right here and right now. I thank you for the ministry of you, Holy Spirit, comforting us, teaching us, reminding us of all that you promised and all that you said, Jesus. And I pray for any hope deferred in this room. I pray for any journey that the Lord has put in your life to pursue him. I pray that those places where he's asked you for something that might be hard to give up, that something today, something clicks, something rises up in you, that the boldness, the courage, the willingness to say, okay, Lord, here I am, let's go. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Okay, Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness. I recognize the grace. I see the power like I've never seen it. Whatever that is, whatever that spiritual formation process that you're in right now, I pray that again, as you allow it to happen, as we allow it to happen, as we embrace it, that Father, it's for the sake of others. It's for the testimony of Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our lives. It's for the glory of God's riches to be made known to all mankind. I pray today that, Father, the testimonies that we will apprehend, the testimonies that we're carrying, the testimonies that are being made and fashioned and formed right in this moment, Father, that they would go to the ends of the earth, that they would begin to impact our families and our communities, that they'd begin to show your love like the world needs it. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they would not cease, that what we experience today would only begin to increase and multiply, that, Father, we would become living testimonies that will not be quiet, that will not be silent, that will proclaim the goodness of God, that will demonstrate the love of God, that will bring faith, hope, and love to a community, that will be light and salt to the earth, that, Father, in the name of Jesus, we would allow you, Holy Spirit, to help us, comfort us, teach us, and remind us of all things, and lead us into a place where there is no fear, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, amen. Would you stand on your feet, and would you just take a few moments and bless somebody this morning? Share a testimony with them. Celebrate with them. Acknowledge them. Honor them. Welcome them. I know you've been connecting all morning, but let's just spend some time just in this place of connection. Amen. Welcome Jennifer Pelletier. She's going to take us through a declaration this morning, and then we'll take communion.
Thank you all for coming. And I know the weather's shifting and changing, but I'm so glad you're here. It's fun to see my family this morning. So thank you for coming. After last Sunday, Linda had given a word, and then Veronica had given a word, and then I had visited with Barbie after church, and I had really had this sense, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? You're highlighting something. What are you doing? This is a moment I knew that the Lord didn't want to miss, and he goes, Jennifer, address the elephants in the room, and I'm like, thank you. I'm so excited, and let me share what I felt like the Lord was saying. Elephants, the longevity of a herd is determined by the grandmas. And the number of calves that could come into a herd of elephants is also determined by the grandmas. Grandmas, if you knew much about elephants, it's the grandmas that can lead the herd to the watering holes. They have such a history. This is where we go. This is where the water's at. This is where we need to go. And they also can lead the herd. Okay, this is where the vegetation and the foliage is at. This is where we need to go. And they are able, with the herd, to lead in such a way that it causes a longevity. And I saw these incredible women come up, and I got to visit with some, like, okay, Lord, there's such a treasure in our family with these grandmas. And I felt like I was to address them and to honor them. And so if you don't have biological grandkids or great-grandkids, that's fine. Just where you're at in your season of life is what the Lord is actually highlighting. So if you grandmas could actually come forward, I actually just want to pray for you. So if you're a grandma, I just want to honor you this morning. These incredible women. So you're dismissed. Come up here. You're going to come up here, and you're going to face our family. Go ahead and face our family. All these incredible women. We are beyond blessed by the Lord to have so many incredible women. As you look at these women, they carry a history with the Lord. They carry gifts and anointings that we all need in order to move forward. When the harvest is start coming in through these doors, and as any herd of elephants knows, the calves are welcome and nurtured by the grandmas and shown, these incredible women will be the force for the harvest, for evangelism. And so can I just pray? I'm just going to take a great look at these women, because they carry such a beautiful history with the Lord. I know. So we're just going to honor these incredible women. So here, just a minute, Marnie. I want out of the picture, Marnie, so you get it with. Did you get take it without me? Okay, awesome, awesome. Let me pray for you. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for these incredible women, Lord, that you are highlighting in this season, that these women are right on time. These women have been preserved. They have a history with you because of the assignment now in this new season. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the giftings, the anointings, and the talents that rest on these women. Lord, I just declare now in the name of Jesus an acceleration and expansion. Lord, I thank you that these women will be given assignments that excite them, that will bring out their fullness in you, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you even, I just declare over you, there is a watchman prophetic anointing resting upon you, that you actually can sense. You can actually sense where the enemy's trying to move in, and you come in at that moment. You come in that moment, and you thwart the plans of the enemy. Lord, I just thank you that they will lead where there is watering holes where we need to drink from. Lord, that you will cause them to lead in places. Hey, this is where we need to stop and rest and eat. Lord, that these women are now being brought to the forefront. Lord, that you are making, hey, you need to take your place. take your place, take your place, take your place. And I just declare over each one, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire. Lord, greater depth of intimacy, because as they move out in greater depths and intimacy, it will affect us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you, women. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you may go. What a treasure we have. What a treasure we have in this family. So thank you. I am actually, let's go ahead and go through our declarations. Today we're on number 4, but we will go ahead and declare them over ourselves and just declare them into the atmosphere. Okay, ready? I'm on assignment. Okay, wait a minute. We'll say this together again. Okay, ready? I'm on assignment. I'm right on time. My purpose is important. My gifts are unique. Okay, this is where I am at this morning. With our gifts are being unique, I want you to stop and think about something in you that you're passionate about, something that it gets you excited. What are you passionate about? What is something God has placed in you that's just kind of uniquely you love to talk about, you love to do? So interesting, this morning I just met someone who loves motorcycles. Take it apart, motorcycles, small engines, motorcycles, which is so awesome. That person is passionate, but that's something the Lord, you know, has individually put in that person. So it could be some of you love to garden. You love beautiful flowers, and you just love being out in your garden. Some of you, maybe it's just fishing. You just love to, maybe it's even tying the flies. You're like a fly fisherman or woman, and you just love to fish. So anyways, this is what we're going to do. You got to think of something. Does everybody have something, right? So everybody has something right at this moment, right? Everybody has something? Okay, you're actually going to say it out loud, and we're going to hear each other as a family. All the uniqueness in our family. So I'm going to start on this right side. So you left side have a little bit of time to, if you don't have something. Everybody here on this right side, you have something like that you're just passionate about. Now listen. Okay, so listen. Me, like thinking I have to be like really spiritual, I would say, oh, I'm passionate about Jesus. Yes, we all are. So that's the given. We're all passionate about Jesus. So we're not going to say Jesus, because that's, we all are. We all are as a family. So you think of something that's uniquely you. Uniquely you. So does everybody have something? I used to back in my day be a scrapbooker, but you kind of don't do that anymore, you know, because everything's techie, so you kind of don't do that anymore. But everybody have something, right? Okay, so we're going to listen to this right side, but you got to say it loud enough so the rest of the family can hear it. So does everybody have something? I'm going to say, you're all going to say it together on the count of three, whatever it is. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Music!
That was awesome. Okay, my middle row, do you guys all have something? Okay, on the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Building!
That's awesome. Okay, you guys ready? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Landscaping!
You guys, this is awesome. Don't you just love hearing like what makes other people tick? What other people are passionate about. When I have thought about our area, I've prayed for our area that we are an area of very unique ideas. So I actually love that number 4, or that my gifts are unique, that we're just a unique people, that we are a people on the cutting edge, that we're a people with great creativity and innovation and ingenuity. So I've often thought about Silicon Valley. And that's that area, you know, kind of around the San Francisco Bay Area. And Silicon Valley is actually known for like the hub of all innovation. So these companies that we're very familiar with, like Google and Facebook and Apple and PayPal, so all these, they kind of hub together in the Silicon Valley. And so if you are an entrepreneur, very creative, innovative, you kind of, they kind of like this mecca, it's like this global hub for those kind of forward thinkers, cutting edge. Well, I'm like, you know what? Silicon Valley has nothing on us. They really don't. And I've prayed in our area, and I've gathered others to pray in our area. I'm like, so that area has one river. We've got two. Right? Right? Why not us? Why not us? Why not us? And I've gone before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, why not us? Why not our LC Valley be known for an area of like forward thinkers? Like innovative, creative, full of ingenuity, cutting edge. Like we're on the cusp of something, you know. And so I've thought of our area. So when you start thinking about, if you get these wild hairs, like wild thoughts, so Josh, thank you. He set me up from last week. Go with your imagination. Go with it. Go with it. Like Josh taught us last Sunday. We have a sanctified imagination. So any kind of thought that's kind of way out there, go after it with the Lord. Okay, Holy Spirit, like, okay, let's get this going. Let's get this going. And just pray for those connections. Pray for the next steps on these ideas. Now, with that, we will draw in people with very unique ideas, very unique thoughts, right? If I know I'm, like, saying this is... this is just what's on my heart. So I'm thinking, Lord, we could draw in like really like creative, unique people. So, and then part of us as family, as grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and aunts and uncles, what do we do with someone that comes in with this really unique thought, this unique idea? Because we're all called to disciple. So how do you disciple someone with a really unique idea? Or what if we come to each other and say, hey, I've got this idea. So let me share one with you. Let's just say hypothetically, I come with you with this idea. Now listen, this is what we do as family. Before all of your red flags go up, like why this won't work, we're going to train each other, and I'm actually going to walk through this with you, what we respond. So what you're going to respond back to me is, wow, that's unique. Tell me more. So we're going to practice. So on the count of three, you're going to say, wow, that's unique. Tell me more. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, so this is my idea. This is my idea. Hug therapy. Hug therapy. Now, before any of you can have all these red flags of all the reasons why this won't work, you're going to say to me, wow. Yeah. Yeah, because some of you are thinking, are you and Sean going to stay married? Uh-huh. Are you, what kind of liability is this, Jennifer? Or what kind of guidelines are you going to have? Are you going to be hugging guys? Right? All these things, right? We don't do that. We don't, wow, Jennifer, that's really unique. Well, then you would follow up with, now listen, I'm not the first one to have this wild hair, because we're going to start generating incredible thought and unique ideas, because not everything has been invented. It's like all of heaven is open. Now listen, is this of the Lord? Let me just keep going on. So you would then say, hey, Jennifer, where do you see like God on this? And I'd go, oh, you guys, listen. Well, Chuck Perry, like he gave a testimony of just that big gentleman and all that hurt and all that pain. And he just gave him a hug, and the Lord just released freedom and liberty and healing through a hug. And then I'd say, you know, I've been personally impacted by a hug. Some of you know the story of when I went to a conference, and Abby, all of her loved, just hugged me and all of me. And I'm like, I just really think like people could be healed and set free. And then you'd be like, all of you are like, are you charging for this? Like, is this a job for you? So listen, this is where you just sit down with people and say, oh, okay. Before we just cut down people's arms and legs and chop them up and like, hey, it just will never work. When people come with really unique ideas and they start sharing, you know, just find out where God is on this. Find out where the Lord is on this. And just kind of, we're just discipling each other. Honestly, that is our job as a family. We just keep pointing them to the Lord. Okay, well, keep seeking Holy Spirit on that one. Okay, yeah, you ask Holy Spirit about that and follow up with them. Follow up with them. And now listen, where they all come like in that kind of way, like I just shared like that, no. But people are going to come with like, hey, I had this thought. What do you think about this thought? And our response as a family member is, wow, that is really unique. that is really unique. Tell me more about that. Where do you see God on that idea? Because I really want us as a family, like when we think about kingdom family, like our minds and what we can do, it's all limitless with the Lord. Like there's cures and there's inventions and there's just so much available to us that we just need to allow people to just go places with the Lord and just disciple them on this journey. So that was just one thought there. And with this too, this is the last thing I wanted to share about how our gifts are unique and just how our thinking is different from one another. Some of us have maybe tried things and then it kind of didn't go anywhere. And then we tried something else and it didn't go anywhere. Or maybe we've tried some things, but it didn't go the direction we thought it was going to go. So can I just pray over us that I kind of saw it like a baseball game. Like we stand there and like we know we are called to have like this hit. And so something gets pitched at us and we get super excited. Like that's it. Yes, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, that's my assignment. I'm right on time. This is what my gifts are all right there. And we swing and it's like a swing and a miss. And we go, okay, you know, and we pray and we seek the Lord and it's like, oh, here comes another one. Yes, this one's it. This one's it. And we take another swing and maybe it's a grounder and we get to first base. Or maybe the next time it's like a pop fly and someone catches it. And we kind of get to this point where I think we kind of quit dreaming. Like we get to this like, you know what? Nah, I'll just hang out in the dugout and I'll just watch the game. That's not the season we're in. That's not the season we're in. We're actually in a season where you are completely allowed to dream the wildest dreams. You are just free, just, okay, Lord, like Josh's thing about just your imagination sanctified, and you can just sit there and like, Lord, I just want my mind to be free just to imagine what you're imagining. Like there's so much open and available to us that I think all of humanity is looking for us. Do you carry something? Do you have something? And I think I love the testimony this morning that Jeff shared because there's something about us as kingdom people, as sons and daughters of the King, that when people are around us, they should be in awe and wonder. And I was so challenged this morning, like, Lord, I do really want people when they're around me, it's like, oh, really? Like, is there a sense of just being awe and is there a sense of wonder when people are around me? And I was so challenged. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I gotta get in the game. I gotta start swinging. And I'm just believing in faith because of I'm on time. I'm on assignment. My purpose is important. We're in this season right now that, okay, Lord, let's just start going after dreams. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the beauty that's in this room. I thank you for the uniqueness in this room. Lord, I thank you for all the histories that each one carries, Lord God. How we actually are fitted in needing each other. Lord, that it's going to be an alignment of connections. Lord, that you're going to start grafting relationships. Lord, that it's going to be a time of unveiling and fulfilling. And so, Lord, I just pray over each one. Lord, that the dreams come alive. Dreams come alive in all the uniqueness come alive. You can just be the unique person that you are. And all the uniqueness, Lord, because the world is needing us as sons and daughters of the King to be revealed. So Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the movement. I thank you for the shifting. I thank you for the freedom, and I thank you for the liberty. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know some of you, I didn't set Jennifer up really well, and so I apologize. Well done, Jennifer. Thank you. We've been doing this series of declarations, and she had five of them, and she gave them to us a couple months ago. And when we get a chance on a Sunday, we have her come and just share and impart. And so we are on number four today as she just led us. And so that sets us up for where we're going to go for the next few minutes with communion, in the sense that part of that revelation that she's talking about is both Holy Spirit inspired, right? The revelation of how God has fashioned you and formed you and the passion that he's put in you and how the Holy Spirit is there to nurture that and grow that. And it's also something that can develop as we discover more about who we are as individuals, as we come out of brokenness, as we come out of dysfunction, as we come out of abuse, as we come out of the hurts of the past and the way we were raised. We discover there are things about us that God can use from that brokenness when we get healed. So some of you, you might have a really, really keen eye to see wounded people in a way where your compassion is uniquely different than mine because of what you've walked through. And not to dismiss that, not to say, well, that's not the Lord, that's just my broken family that's affected me, so now I walk into the store and I'm suspicious. It's like, well, let's not be suspicious, let's be discerning. Let's bring it into a place of redemption, right? And so this insight that Jennifer's given us is something that, again, we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians. And I just want to highlight a couple verses for you. And this is in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 13. And thank you, Marnie, if you can throw that up there. Because we're in the book of Ephesians, and we've been walking through this. And I just want to use these three verses to set us up for communion. And in verse 13, Paul's writing, it says, in him, in who? And who is him? Jesus says, you also trusted. So as you get insight regarding your unique gift about the importance of where you're at and being on assignment and being right on time, there's this place where you trusted, you believe, you have understood that this is what God has said. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth. I believe we heard the word of truth this morning throughout worship, throughout the ministry time, throughout Jennifer's. The word of truth is what? It's the gospel of our salvation. What is the good news? That God loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. That's it. I mean, God loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. That's the good news. Here's the tough news, right? Because there's really good news. And it's not bad news, it's just tough news. God loves you and wants to have relationship with you. And if you choose to take him up on his offer, it's amazing. But it starts with you dying. So all of a sudden, the good news becomes tough news, right? There's a cost. But it doesn't change the good news. The good news is that God loves you and wants to have relationship with you. So when you hear that, and it's the gospel of our salvation, in whom also having believed, so now we've heard the truth, we've recognized and declared that we are unique, and yet as unique as I am, that gives me a place in the eyes of the Father that is unique, and I can stand there, but I can't allow my uniqueness to disregard anybody else's uniqueness. And this is the paradox of the kingdom, because I'm his favorite, and I'm uniquely created, wonderfully made, but then so are you. And what I need to do is recognize the more that I discover how I am uniquely and wonderfully made, how I'm his favorite, there's a grace of the Spirit that then allows me to see others. But it's a process, and the first hurdle that we have to get over is pride, right? And then in my life, it was control, and then low self-esteem, and then jealousy. For you, it might be fear, it might be depression. Whatever that process is, God knows exactly how to get you to a place where you now can believe, and in believing, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Again, so we heard, right? We heard the truth. We believed the truth, and now the truth has been sealed by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's been set upon us. It goes on to say, in the next verse, it says, who has given us a pledge, an inheritance, a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So listen, that phrase right there, what Paul's talking about, is the return of Jesus. It's the making all things right. It's the day when there will be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. It's this reality that who is the guarantee, the Holy Spirit, right, from the last verse, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, meaning you and I are that purchased possession. So if you walk out of here today, stub your toe, say a bad word, God doesn't sell you. He doesn't get rid of his purchased possession. If you walk out of here and decide to jump on the computer and look at things you shouldn't look at or do things that, you know, God wouldn't want, or say something to your spouse that isn't appropriate, or have a disagreement with a coworker tomorrow, the battle over your salvation has been sealed because you believed what you heard, and he sealed it in you and on you with his Spirit, and it is not easily lost. It is not thrown out like a leaf in the wind. And so come back to that place. Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have sealed me in this place to the praise of his glory. And we'll get into this in the next few weeks as we move towards Christmas. And this will be the heart of our message in this Christmas season. God does everything. Everything God does. There isn't anything he does, has done, or will do that doesn't bring him glory or isn't motivated or the reason of his glory. And we'll talk about the glory and define glory a little bit next week. But I want you to understand something. The glory of God is more important than the goodness of God. The glory of God will always trump his goodness. Meaning, oftentimes, we're looking for the goodness of God, and he's calling us to his glory. Sometimes, we see the goodness of God and forget to recognize the glory of God. But there will never be a point when the Lord settles for his goodness apart from his glory. Meaning, he won't just heal you so that you can know his goodness. He'll heal you so that you can know his glory through his goodness. He'll provide for you, not just so you know him to be a good provider, but he'll provide for you out of his glory through his goodness. We will get to see the goodness of his provision so that we then get to know his glory. There is this place in the body of Christ as we prepare to take communion where God never wanted us to settle for just knowing the goodness of his communion. But he wants us to know the glory because, oh, go back one verse, verse 14. This guarantee that you and I have of our inheritance isn't just good. It isn't just temporary, isn't on the scales of good or bad, successful, failure, right or wrong. Our inheritance is in the glory. Our inheritance is in something that isn't based on our works, isn't based on our effort or our striving. And I want to rewrite an equation for us as we prepare to take communion, and it's this. Oftentimes in the body of Christ and what we navigate is faith plus works equals salvation. And we make works the root of our faith and our salvation. And that is not the kingdom of God. The actual equation is faith equals salvation plus works. Meaning works are the fruit that comes from the root of faith. Salvation is the glory that we get to step into by faith. And it's not just good, because it is good. It's glorious. And when we are called to remember and take communion through the cup and through the bread representing his body and his blood, there is this place that we say, thank you, Lord, you're so good. I say it every week. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Yes, absolutely true. But that goodness has a source. The goodness of God is in the glory of God. And as we navigate the next few weeks and we look at this reality of the glory of God and the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus and the glorious riches and the reason why we praise, because this is where we get to go when we recognize maybe things aren't going the way we like them to go. Maybe the storm is bigger than we know what to do within the moment. Maybe there's some uncertainty as to what the Lord is doing. We don't rest our faith on just the goodness of God. We rest on the glory of God. Because in the midst of the not-so-good moments, God isn't any less glorious. And the truth is, he's not any less good. We just might not be experiencing it the way we want it, expect to. So I'm going to release you, and I'm going to ask that you just break up into groups of twos and threes. You might be with family. You might be friends. You can stay where you are. Just turn around. But I want you to take communion this morning. And I want you to take it in such a manner that right there in that circle, kind of family style, somebody pray for the bread. Somebody recognize the body of Jesus Christ and the glory that Jesus has been brought into through resurrection. And the glory of that body has now set you and I free from all sin and death, from the curse that hung on a tree. You go where you know that communion stands, but don't settle just for the goodness in his body. Go after the glory that we've received as an inheritance. And then somebody lead in the juice, in drinking the cup that represents the blood, the atonement, the at-one-ment that we have with Jesus. And again, there are times when it is evident that it is so, so good. And other times by faith, we come and go, Lord, thank you for the glory. Thank you for the glory. So again, if you haven't grabbed a communion cup yet, go ahead and grab one. There's some up on stage or some on the tables. You may need to stand and move, but we're just going to give you a few minutes to go ahead and take communion together, and then we'll close and send you out for the day. I know some of you are still praying, and that's great. That's okay. I want to invite the worship team up. Amen. I know Buffy and Evie and Tim helped with breakfast. Who else helped with breakfast? Rowena, Deanna, Debbie, thank you. Can we give a round of applause? Can we just say thank you for those that helped prepare breakfast this morning? And Dan. Oh, yeah, thank you, Dan. Dan Henry. Amen. We're going to close in a song. With that, would you please stand? Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the glory. Father, we thank you that we are a continuously evolving, prosperous people that are moved by you, Holy Spirit, with unique gifts. And so just say this with me. Lord, you love me.
Lord, you love me.
And I am lovable.
And I am lovable.
Lord, you love me.
Lord, you love me.
And you've uniquely gifted me.
And you've uniquely gifted me.
Say it one more time. Lord, you love me.
Lord, you love me.
And you have uniquely gifted me. And then say this, wow, that's a unique idea. Tell me more. Amen. Let's join the worship team in close service.